Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Mess with MS. I'm your host, Lisa Dreyer. Brain Injury Radio is committed to spreading brain injury awareness. My show is focused on multiple sclerosis. Tonight, I have myself as a guest, and I will be talking about brain injury and multiple sclerosis because I have both. I am very excited about this show. I'll mostly be talking about multiple sclerosis tonight, but I wanted to give a little bit of an overview about brain injury as well. I am a survivor of brain injury and multiple sclerosis. First off, I'd like to say that no one's personal opinion tonight, that means mine, my case history, my symptomology, my anything that you hear tonight should be taken to your doctor and talked about. Anything that you hear on this show, don't use it in your life. You can take it to your doctor and talk about it and say, I've heard about this, what do you think? But don't just use it on yourself first. I may have some exciting guests sometimes. Maybe you'll hear something exciting coming out of my mouth or one of my callers, and you might want to try it. But always, talk to your doctor first. Don't just test it on yourself because you never know. Our bodies are different. Our brains are different. And you could get sick. You never know. And I don't want to be your medical expert because, as I'll prove to you tonight in the show with one example, I am definitely not a medical expert. So while my show may be educational, entertaining, and informational, I am not your medical caregiver. Please consult them. consult them before making any changes that may be adversarial and they might affect you. So let me tell you a little bit about me. I was born weighing 1 pound, 6 ounces. Shortly after my birth at UCLA's Medical Center, I had a cardiac arrest in their NICU. This led to an oxygen loss in my brain, which caused a brain injury. This incident left me with learning disabilities and health complications. I never thought about it, but when I turned 32, I was diagnosed with MS. And that's when I finally learned that not only did I have MS, but I did in fact have a brain injury because I started working with the Brain Injury Radio Network. And we'll get into more about that as the show progresses. But through friendship, family, spirituality, religion, and the many MS and disability role models I have, I started beating back this disease. You can call in tonight. Please do. Our phone number is 424-243-9540. 424-243-9540. And I hope you do call in, because tonight is a call-in episode. The show will run for 90 minutes, and it is on MS, recent developments, research, and role models. And I'm excited about it. So let's talk. Let's talk about everything that's been going on with MS. And like I said, I'm starting out talking about brain injury because I said I wanted to talk a little bit about everything. Okay, so brain injuries are a serious and often life-changing condition that can result from a variety of causes. Brain injury can occur when there is damage to the brain, which can be caused by a blow to the head, a fall, a car accident, a stroke, or other factors. And like we say in the show, sometimes those other factors can be sports, can be abusive people in your life, which is really unpleasant to think about, but you know what I'm talking about. Depending on the severity and location of the injury, the effects can range from mild to severe and can include physical, cognitive, and psychological changes. One common type of brain injury is a concussion. And boy, lots of people end up having concussions in their lives, which can occur as a result of a sports injury, like I said, a car accident, or a sudden impact to the head. Many people just have falls and get their brain injuries from a fall. Symptoms of a concussion can include headache, dizziness, nausea, confusion, and memory problems. In most cases, these symptoms will resolve on their own with rest and time, but in some cases, they can be more severe and require medical attention. Another type of brain injury is a traumatic brain injury, or a TBI, which is more severe and can result in a long-lasting or permanent damage to the brain. TBIs can occur as a result of a blow to the head, a fall, or another traumatic event. Symptoms of a TBI can include a loss of consciousness, confusion, memory loss, difficulty speaking or understanding language, and changes in mood or behavior. Treatment for a TBI may involve hospitalization, medication, rehabilitation, and ongoing care. In addition to the physical symptoms, brain injuries can also have cognitive and psychological effects. These can include difficulty with memory, attention, and concentration, as well as changes in personality, mood, and behavior. In some cases, these effects can be long-lasting or permanent and can have significant impact on the person's quality of life. Prevention is key when it comes to brain injuries. I'll say that again. Prevention is key when it comes to brain injuries. Wearing helmets while participating in sports or riding bicycles or motorcycles can help reduce the risk of a head-on injury. Following safety guidelines while driving or participating in other activities can also help prevent accidents that could lead to brain injuries. Brain injuries are a serious and often life-changing condition that can result from a variety of causes. While treating and rehabilitation are available, prevention is key to reducing the risks of brain injuries. By taking steps to protect ourselves and others, we can help reduce the impact of brain injuries and improve the quality of life for those who are affected by them. So think about that. We can improve the quality of life for those who are affected by them. Okay, now here it comes. Here comes where I said, please talk to your doctor. But is multiple sclerosis considered a brain injury? Well, I have said so many times before, I have to admit that I was wrong. Now, many years ago, someone told me that multiple sclerosis was, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, a brain injury. Now, multiple sclerosis is not considered a brain injury. It is not considered a brain injury. So one person told me it was a brain injury, and I believed them. And then another person told me that it was a brain injury, and I believed them. And because I trusted these two people, and I thought that they were very smart, and they are smart, but I trusted them enough to not check my sources. I did myself a disservice, and I did you, my audience, a disservice. So multiple sclerosis, MS, is not considered a brain injury, okay? I thought that it was considered a brain injury, and also what I will continue telling you it is, but it is not a brain injury. I have my show on the Brain Injury Radio Network because I have MS, and I also have a brain injury. So MS is not considered a brain injury, but it is a lot. It has a lot in common with brain injuries. So let me tell you what it has in common with and what it is not, why it's not like a brain injury. Multiple sclerosis is not considered a brain injury. MS is a chronic autoimmune disorder that affects the central nervous system, including the brain, the spinal cord, and the optic nerves. In MS, the body's immune system attacks the protective covering of the nerve fibers, causing inflammation and damage to the myelin sheath. This damage can disrupt the normal flow of electrical impulses along the nerves, leading to a range of symptoms, including fatigue, muscle weakness, vision problems, and difficulty with balance and coordination. While MS can cause damage to the brain and other parts of the central nervous system, it is not typically considered a brain injury in the same way that a traumatic brain injury or a stroke would be. Brain injuries usually result from a sudden and traumatic event, while MS is a chronic disease that develops over time. However, MS can have similar symptoms to a brain injury, including cognitive and psychological effects. So, similar. Such as memory loss, difficulty with concentration, and changes in mood and behavior. Multiple sclerosis, MS, is a chronic autoimmune disorder. So, and it affects us just like the brain injury does, and in a lot of the same ways. And it can lead to a range of symptoms. But the symptoms of MS can vary widely and can include fatigue, numbness and tingling in the limbs or face, weakness and clumsiness in the limbs, vision problems, including blurry or double vision, difficulty with coordinating or balance, coordination, problems with speech and or swallowing, bladder or bowel problems, cognitive impairment, including memory loss and difficulty concentrating. The severity and duration of these symptoms can also vary widely, and some people with MS may experience periods of remission during which their symptoms improve or disappear. Now, I have passed a certain stage of MS where supposedly my symptoms don't disappear anymore. I've lost the relapse period, but I would argue that. I think I've actually created health. I don't know exactly how I've done that, but I think I'm actually healthier. And I'd love to pick a scientist's brain about that. So the severity and duration of these symptoms can vary widely. And I think all MSers are snowflakes in this, because we each have our own severity of symptoms and types of symptoms, because our brains are all so specific and so different, and our spines and how our bodies are built and respond. People are amazing. So symptoms may worsen and appear, and new symptoms may appear. So that's called the different types of MS. And these are relapsing remitting MS, which is RRMS. That's one. This is the most common form of MS, characterized by periods of relapse followed by periods of remission. So that's supposedly like the first stage of MS. That was the first type of MS that I was diagnosed with. And everyone feels like they got a medal if that's the first thing they're diagnosed with, because you're like, wow, I'm not that sick. That's awesome. Okay, and then there's secondary progressive MS, SPMS. This type of MS usually develops in people who've had RRMS for several years. It is characterized by a gradual worsening of symptoms over time with fewer periods of remission. I developed secondary progressive MS in like 2 years. So I don't know about the several years part, but I guess I went full on for it. But since then, I have gotten much, much better. And I think that is due to my commitment to my health through diet, exercise, and very potent MS medication. So I'd be open to chat about that with anyone if you want to call in to the station. And our number is 424-243-9540. Then you have the third stage of MS, which is primary progressive MS. It's called PPMS. This type of MS is less common than RRMS or SPMS and is characterized by a gradual worsening of symptoms from the onset with no periods of remission. Currently no cure for MS, but there are treatments available that can help manage symptoms, slow down the progression of the disease, and improve quality of life. These treatments include medication, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and lifestyle changes, such as exercise and stress reduction. So, how do you go about diagnosing multiple sclerosis? Well, it can be challenging, as the symptoms of MS can be similar to those of other conditions. A diagnosis of MS is typically based on a combination of clinical evaluation, imaging tests, and other diagnostic tools. The diagnosis of MS usually involves a comprehensive medical history and physical exams. So your doctor will ask you about your symptoms, medical history, and a family history of MS. Someone in your family does not have to have MS. No one in my family has had MS. So it's not like it has happened before to everyone. They will also perform a physical exam to assess your reflexes, muscle strength, and coordination. So the second thing that most likely will happen will be an MRI, a magnetic resonance imaging. It's the most common imaging test used to diagnose MS. It can detect areas of inflammation and damage in the brain and spinal cord, and that may be caused by MS. You can look up the shows that I have done on magnetic resonance imaging or MRI machines, and I have done plenty of shows on that. By checking under Mess with MS, and just type Mess with MS MRI. And then the third thing that your doctor might want to try is a lumbar puncture. Now, some people are diagnosed without a lumbar puncture. Now, I will always tell people whom I love, if they are not getting diagnosed and they really think that they may have MS, to get a lumbar puncture. And a lumbar puncture means you have a spinal tap. Spinal taps are no fun from my point of view. Some people think that they're a breeze. It's a procedure in which a small amount of cerebrospinal fluid, which is CSF, is removed from your spinal cord and analyzed for signs of inflammation or other abnormalities And if you have any back problems or you get headaches or anything like that, you may not like it. I know I didn't like it. I've had it done about 4 times. But if you don't know what's wrong with you and you have been waiting to be diagnosed for a long time, I would say to get it done. The fourth thing is an evoked potential test. So these tests measure the electrical activity in the brain and can help detect abnormalities in the nerve pathways that may be caused by MS. So all this diagnostic criteria for MS has evolved over time. And the most recent criteria was developed by an international panel of experts in 2017. These criteria, called the McDonald's criteria, take into account critical imaging and other diagnostic findings to make a definitive diagnosis of MS. It's important to note that a diagnosis of MS is a serious matter and should only be made by a qualified healthcare provider with experience in diagnosing and treating MS. If you are experiencing symptoms that could be related to MS, it's important to seek medical attention promptly to get an accurate diagnosis and begin appropriate treatment. So that, I'll tell you, is something that I will say, that if you're listening to me and you think that you may have MS, and I've just said that, okay, so please take that under advisement. You can take that to your doctor. So here are some recent developments in MS research, and they're exciting. So a new drug has come out called ofatumumab. Don't ask me to pronounce that. It's Kesimpta, K-E-S-I-M-P-T-A. That's a monoclonal antibody which works by reducing the level of B cells which contribute to the development and progression of MS. Ofatumumab is approved in several countries worldwide to treat adults with certain relapsing forms of MS. It has been approved for treating relapsing remitting MS. The drug can reduce the number of relapses and slow down the progression of the disease. Now, I want to tell you that even though I did not have relapsing remitting MS, my neurologist had me use a drug for relapsing remitting MS at a time when I did not have relapsing remitting MS. But that was at my doctor's discretion. So your neurologist and yourself can make these choices. But this is a new drug that has very good success, and you can explore it with your doctor. Now, I hope you have a pencil and a piece of paper with you to take some notes. So if you would like to write down the name of this drug, it is K-E-S-I-M-P-T-A, because I just found out about it, and it does sound really exciting. Okay, so researchers have also developed a new way to measure the level of disability in people with MS. The measure, called the MS Functional Composite, combines several different tests to provide a more comprehensive assessment of person's abilities. That is just amazing. So I think the MS Functional Composite, I'd love to learn more about that. Wouldn't you? So if you're listening and you yourself have had an MS Functional Composite test, please call in to Brain Injury Radio at 424-243-9540. I'd love to hear all about that. Or if you are someone taking Kazemta right now, I'd love to hear about it. Or if I'm just saying it wrong, please call in to tell me all about it. Because, you know, I always like to know when I'm pronouncing things wrong. One time, a listener of this station just called in because I couldn't think of the name of a certain medication. And he told me, which I always appreciate, because you know what? I have a brain injury and several autoimmune diseases. I don't just have multiple sclerosis, and I really appreciate it when my friends help me, and I don't mind it at all. We have too many problems that are holding us back. We need our friends to help us out, I think, at least. So I appreciate the help. So there was number three of all these exciting recent developments. There was a study published in the journal Nature Communications. And the study has identified a new gene that may be involved in the development of MS. A new gene. The gene called NR1H3 plays a role in regulating the immune system. Can you imagine that there is a gene that regulates the immune system? And it could play a role in developing MS. So if scientists can trigger this one gene, they might be able to eradicate MS. What an amazing thing! At least I think so. And I don't know, maybe that's a bit of too much, but I think it's amazing. That's science for you. So recently, as far as culture goes, that was all science. Let's talk about culture now. Culture. Celebrities. We think of the people on magazine covers. We think of TV shows. We think of music. We think of entertainment. Well, recently, I have noticed that multiple sclerosis has become it's become a little hip, because there have been so many celebrities who have multiple sclerosis. Now, I'm not saying that having a disease is necessarily a good thing. I'm just saying that so many cool people happen to have it. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, because to have the advocacy, it's not a bad thing to have the advocacy and to have some frankly wonderful advocates. And let's talk about them. The first one I can think of is Annette Funicello. Hello, Mickey Mouse Club. She's an American actress and a singer, and I always loved her. And she was an advocate for MS causes and research until her death in 2013. She's a very strong lady, and I always will admire her greatly. And then there's the king of comedy, Mr. Richard Pryor. He's an American comedian and an actor. He's amazing. And he continued to perform despite the challenges of his MS until his death in 2005. And I can't say enough good about him. I think he's probably like the most wonderful comedian, one of the most wonderful comedians of all time, especially considering everything that he went through with his MS. Montel Williams. Who doesn't know who Montel Williams is? Okay. He's an American personality and a former talk show host. He was diagnosed with MS in 1999. He has been a vocal advocate for MS research and treatment ever since he was diagnosed. I want to say, I'm just going to put a little ad in here. Please listen to his show on Brain Injury Radio Network with our very own Kim Justice. You can look for it in our archives. In our archives under Kim, just type in Kim Justice Montel Williams and you will find the show. And you can listen to a later show by typing in my name and typing in Amanda Kando. And in that interview, Amanda talks with me about meeting Montel Williams, where she and he were both fighting for marijuana reform. And it's a wonderful interview. And I really enjoyed having her on to talk about how she met Montel. And I don't think anyone who is in my age group, at least, maybe those younger and older than me, does not know about Jack Osborne. He is a reality star and a British media personality. He's also the son of Ozzy Osborne. And if you're a fan of metal, you, of course, know who he is. Jack was diagnosed with MS in 2012 and has since become an advocate for research and awareness. His first symptom was going blind, and many people know about that. He went blind in his left eye, but many people with MS know about that horrific feeling where suddenly you can't see. I myself have had that, and it's one of the worst symptoms of MS, because perhaps one of the things that you think about your whole life, like what would it be like, you suddenly know what it's like. And you sit there and you wonder, is this how it's going to always be? And for some people, it always is that way. Anyways, so that was the first thing that happened to Jack. Because despite his wonderful, you know, he was born into rock royalty and had a reality TV fame and had his own ghost show and all these wonderful things. He too is not immune to multiple sclerosis. So that, there we go. Our next multiple sclerosis person is Jamie Lynn Siegler. Now, I think everyone knows about Jamie Lynn, especially if you watch The Sopranos. she was known for her role in The Sopranos. She announced her diagnosis in 2016, and she since became an advocate for MS research and awareness. She played the young daughter of Tony Soprano, and the last time she ran was on camera in The Sopranos. And it was for a scene. And so it's actually on film, the last time she ran, which is an incredible in time in her life and as something that people with MS can like share with her, because for many of us, we too have that experience and we too can say, that's exactly like something that I know. That's I know that experience. Then Selma Blair. Selma Blair is an American actress known for her role in movies such as Cruel Intentions. She announced her MS diagnosis in 2018 and has since become an advocate for research and awareness. She has written a book and made a movie about her experiences with MS. Now, I could put that the next person on our list of many known quote-unquote celebrities who have MS is one of the many people that are out there in the world. But why don't you go to my page, www.facebook.com/guest-guest-on-o-n-m-e-s-s-with-w-i-t-h-m-s-m-s radio-r-a-d-i-o-show-s-h-o-w. And you can share your story and be an MS advocate too. I have so many guests come on this show over 8 years, and I've been hosting, and go on to become productive podcast careers on their own or champion their own causes. If you can dream it, do it. What do you want to do because of or despite your MS? We talked about MS-related music. And there are several artists who have written songs that might not be inspired by MS, but which we MSers can take comfort from. Some examples include Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd, which literally cries out to anyone else who hears the pain that they are in, as many in the MS community live, which are in a stasis as comfortably numb. The lyrics go, hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody in there? Just nod if you can hear me. Is there anyone at home? Come on now. I hear you're feeling down. Well, I can ease your pain, get you on your feet again. Relax. I'll need some information first, just the basic facts. Can you show me where it hurts? The next song is Not Afraid by Eminem, which includes lyrics about facing his own struggles with personal monsters. People with MS use the pejorative of a monster to describe MS. So this is one of the most popular songs connected to MS. Excuse me, I said Not Afraid. It's Monster by Eminem. And and he uses lyrics about facing his own struggles with personal monsters. And people describe MS as a monster. And he's talking about a monster. And people connect to this song because of that. And the lyrics go, I'm afraid with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me. Stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy. Yeah, you think I'm crazy. I think that's another thing why people think that song applies to this disease, because many people with MS have also been told, not just by others around them, but by doctors, that they have mental issues. And then one of my favorite, for whatever reason, is the song, I Get Knocked Down, But I Get Up Again. I don't know. When I saw that this song was on the list, it made me laugh so hard. This song was released in 1997, and it embodies that MS may be trying to knock us down, but we'll get up again and again. So I understand why it's here, and I do get it. But at first, I was a little, at first it made me blush, and it still does. I actually know the person who wrote the music to the song, and so it's personal for me in a way. I'll read you the main bit of the lyrics and the chorus. So it goes, we'll be singing when we're winning, we'll be singing. I'll get knocked down, but I'll get up again. You're never going to kick me down. I get knocked down, but I'll get up again. You're never going to keep me down. So I found these songs on myms.org, where patients with MS were asked to vote on their favorite MS-related music. So now, how does one take care of someone who has MS? Because we can be caretakers, or the show is often listened to by caretakers. So caring for someone with MS can be challenging, as the disease can cause a range of physical, cognitive, and psychological symptoms. However, there are steps you can take to help manage these symptoms and provide support for your loved one. Here are some tips for caring for someone with MS. Educate yourself. Learn as much as you can about MS, including its symptoms, prognosis, and treatment options. Talk to your loved one's healthcare provider and get a better understanding of their condition and what you can do to help. Please, everyone, educate yourself, even if you are the person who has MS. It helps so much. Manage symptoms. Work with your loved one's healthcare provider to develop a plan for managing their symptoms. This may include medication to control their health problems and to control their issues, all of their issues, as well as treatment to manage their symptoms and their confusion and their mood changes. Provide support, offer emotional support, and encourage your loved one to stay engaged in their hobbies, in their friends, in their interests. Help them maintain a healthy lifestyle by encouraging regular exercise, a balanced diet, and adequate sleep. Sleep is so important, guys. Ensure safety. MS can increase the risk of falls. It sure can. And other accidents. So it is important to take steps to ensure your loved one's safety. This may include removing tripping hazards from the home, installing grab bars, and other safety features, and encouraging the use of mobility aids such as canes or walkers, or wheelchairs, or other devices. Seek community resources. Look for local resources that can provide support for both you and your loved one. This may include support groups, respite care services, and other community resources that can help you manage the challenges of caring for someone with MS. Caring for someone with MS can be challenging, but with the right support and resources, you can help your loved ones manage their symptoms and maintain their quality of life. So I hope that this show was helpful for everybody, and that I hope that you guys enjoyed hearing about the new developments in MS, the new research, and some of the new role models that you can encounter in this year of 2023. I really enjoyed talking to everyone, and I hope to talk to you all again soon. We haven't had any callers, so as the show is only going to be on air for 15 more minutes, I am guessing that we probably will not. So I'm going to say adieu, and I cannot wait for my next show. My next show will be next month on the 9th. So have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe and give big hugs to the people you love and maintain your health. Take these tips and use them. Okay. Bye, guys.